Genesis 3:24. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. How many of us believe that Adam and Eve, that creation was this world and we walked on this world, right? I mean, we believe that, right? But yet I don't see people confused at where this place is now. Now, if the Garden of Eden, a man was created, man and woman was created, and animals were created, and it was here, and he says that he drove the man out, placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, a flaming sword, you know, wouldn't this be a great vacation to take the family to? We go and we look at the Grand Canyon. We go and we look at caverns in the earth. We hike mountains, right? Wouldn't to see the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword, that'd be a great place to go. So how do we get there? I mean, it was here, right? And now it's not here. Where is it? We were hiking yesterday, and Larry got me thinking about something that always got him, and I never really thought about it. All this water that runs down these creeks and is constantly flowing, it comes from way up on the mountains. What? I mean, they got a great big pool up there that it's slowly leaking out of. Where does it come from? That's a great question. It's same. Why aren't more people asking that question? Why aren't more people wondering where we can go visit the flaming sword? You see, what this shows us is that we live in two worlds. It shows us that we live in one, and that there's another one that is around us that we can no longer see. At one time we could see it because man was in the garden, and then he was kicked out of the garden, and now we can't see it. So there most assuredly is things around us that we cannot see. And so what is it that you want to see? I mean, if you could pick one thing to see, would it be the flaming sword? Would you want to see the spirits that roam the earth? Do you want to see the demons, the angels, God? I mean, if you could, you can't see this world that's around us, but would you really want to see what is sitting next to you right now? God says that there is an unseen world of the dead, and that we should stay away from that world. Do you really want to see what walks around in your house at night? Do you really want to see what sits over you and watches you sleep? Something does. Right? Something does. There's another world around us. And I'm not talking about the things that go bump in the night. I'm talking about a real world that is around us that we cannot see. Hebrews 13:2 says, Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. You know, at some point in our life, a lot of us have stories about things that we can't explain. And, you know, we have to be careful, because God said that the last sign that we would have is Jesus raising from the dead. That's the last thing that we would see. That is the last sign that He will give us. And the Bible says that there are other signs and wonders that happen, but they're of the devil. He has miracles too, right? I mean, somebody that could defy God this long and still live, that's a miracle in itself. He's not stronger. He's going to pay. He knows this, but he still is alive and defies God. But this verse here shows us that that there are things that happen in life and we just can't explain them. My part of the story for this, we all might have some, is that a good friend of mine that worked for me, I don't even know how many years ago it is. He's passed away now, But he fell out in a Burger King and was starting to have convulsions. And these two people came up. I don't remember if it was a man and a woman, two women. It was two people that came up and that held him. And I didn't know what to do. And they held him and they told me, they said, just keep him still. It's okay. Just keep him still. And the one said that they were a nurse, or not a doctor, but they were in the medical field. And they were like, just make sure he doesn't hit his head or anything. And so once the seizure had passed, it's like those people that were there just kind of faded away. And once the seizure had passed, I looked up and they just weren't there. It was just people behind the counter and people that were far away because they didn't know what was going on, but there was nobody standing close to me, you know? And that's weird, and that's okay if people think I'm crazy or whatever, but we all have this sort of thing. And God says that sometimes we unwittingly entertain angels. Now, that word unwittingly means to lie hid, to be unaware of. So that we're not aware that we're doing these things. Now, if I believe other parts of Scripture, I also have to believe this Scripture. The word entertained is hospitality, fond of guests, friendly. You know, a lot of people will say that the guy, the panhandler on the side of the street is actually an angel there, and he's just looking and taking notes to see if you're going to be nice to him or not. Well, I guess one day we'll see. I don't know. Okay? But I'm just telling you what these words mean. I'm not making these up. And then the word angels is the same word that is always used for angels, always. It is messenger, pastor, or angel. And I believe in this context here, it could be either one. I believe it leans more towards angels, but I also believe that sometimes that we... You know, not everybody knows that I'm a preacher. Not everybody knows that I'm an elder. I don't walk in and the lady says, "Hi, my name is Melissa, and I'm here to serve you today." And I'm like, "Hi, my name's Calvin. I'm a pastor. How are you?" I don't do that, you know. So sometimes we can help people out that are of the church, and they don't even know. We don't even know. And sometimes God is involved in such a way that we just don't... We don't see. But that's okay, because we live in two worlds. I just want us to understand that. We live in two worlds. We see one, and there's one around us. And I think since we don't see that one around us the way that some people did, we want to see that. But I'm going to show you that we have the greater revelation. I don't want to say gift, because it's a revelation through Scripture that shows us these things. And so I think we have the better revelation than it would if we could actually see the world that was around us. And we'll see why in a minute. Well, at some point. Matthew 25, 36 through 37 says, "I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?'" See, this is what Hebrews is talking about. Right? This is not something that we go out and we have to say, I got to help the panhandler on the side of the street because that might be an angel. Or here's a person that is in the grocery store and can't reach the upper shelf, and so I'm going to go over there and help them, you know, because these are the things that God says I might do and I don't know. No. See, the righteous, when they did these things, they didn't know they were doing them. They were unaware of what was going on. This is just who they were. They're servants. And whether if you say, "I'm going to serve this person because they're serving God, and I'm not going to serve this person because they're not serving God," that's not how you do it. This is not how we do it. This is not how we do things unwittingly, unaware of. We're either a servant or we're not. We're either a follower of Christ or we're not. We're either... know what we're doing, or we're doing it because that's who we are. You see, when we sit down at a restaurant and we're done, we kind of put the stuff together, you know, kind of, if it's like at Waffle House, you don't push the stuff to the right-hand side of the table, because you know why? Because they're back here and they got to reach all the way over to try to get it, and you push it to the left. When you get up, you don't leave everything over to the right side. You kind of push it to the left. You put stuff on top instead of piling everything. I don't know. I mean, you just kind of clean up because that's just who you are. You're not doing it because she was a great server or he was a great host, right? You're just who you are. You just do it. See, here's an example of what we're talking about, of living in one world, yet interacting with another world. These people were not aware that they were doing these things for Christ. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he was killing Christians, and Jesus asked him point blank, "Why are you persecuting me?" Paul wasn't doing that to Jesus. He was just doing it to the church. These people, if they knew Jesus didn't have clothes and needed, and they knew that he was sick and was in the hospital or in prison or was hungry, they would come to him because they would know that it was Jesus. You see, we interact with these two worlds, but God is showing us, you know, are you going to live up to what you say that you are? Are you only going to do this because you get recognition for me, or are you going to do this? Only you know the answer to that. He says we do it and are unaware of who we're doing it to. Well, if we segregate the righteous and the unrighteous in our mind and all this, and I know that Scripture says that we do good to the church first. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our ministry, our way of life. We live in two worlds. And I'm telling you, God says you don't really understand who you're interacting with. That's why I've told you to be this type of person. Our expectations of this grand interaction is much different than the reality of that interaction. 2 Kings 6:16 through 17. So he answered and said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." So you had Elisha there. And it seemed like that the world was closing in. It seemed like that the armies that were coming against them were going to prevail. And Elisha said, "No." He said, "You don't see. You don't understand." He said, "Those that are with us are greater than those that are coming against us." And so he said, he prayed in verse 17, he said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Could you imagine seeing that? I mean, could you really imagine seeing that? When someone has you at their worst, and they are gloating over you, and they are berating you, and if you could see, that you would see angels mighty with swords, fierceness in their face, and flames of fire standing behind you, waiting to deliver, waiting to rescue, waiting to bring punishment upon the wicked. If you could see those things, would that give you more faith? Would you think that you would see a greater glory than what we have today? We need to understand this actually happened. These people thought that they were losing. And he said, "We're not losing." He said, "Lord, open your eyes for everything that's around us." And they did. And could you imagine when you saw that? You would have thought, "Wow, there's no way we're going to lose. These are horses that are on fire, and they're going to come rushing after the ones that are not on fire." You would think that this would be so great and so wonderful to see this. And it would have been magnificent. I don't want to take away from that, but I want us to see the greater revelation. You see, this is how we would imagine that interaction. By sight. However, it would seem that the enemy was bigger and would stronger. And it would appear that the enemy would have certain victory over us. But once this was seen, this interaction that we imagine this is how it is, then we knew that they weren't going to prevail. But that, see, this is how we imagine the interaction, is there going to be bright lights and fire and music from heaven and all this stuff that's happening. But remember the reality of it. Jesus said, the righteous said, when did I do these things? 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 9 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. So, when we look at this verse, Paul was telling the church at Corinth that when people saw this, Elisha saw this, he said, even he did not even imagine the things that God had in store for us. Look at what he saw. And he said that they didn't know in the ages of bygone time the wisdom of God, because it was hidden in this mystery. And he says, eyes not seen nor ear heard. Now, a lot of people will tell you that, oh, this is heaven. You just can't imagine what God has, you know, made available to us and how heaven is going to be and all this. And these people that say this stuff, I caution them, because the heaven that's here today, right now, will be done away with because it was tainted with sin. There's a new heaven and new earth. So if we're going to talk about the finalization and the glory that we can't comprehend, at least put it in the right dispensation, and that is the new heaven and new earth, because the heaven of glory that exists today is going to be done away with. But he's not even talking about heaven here. He's talking about the mystery that they didn't understand. And if you read the very next verse, you'll see that who showed us and explained to us that mystery. These people saw this wild interaction that they would have thought that we want to see with God. And yet, this mystery that God hid the true meaning behind all of this, we now understand that mystery. They did not. They saw things like flaming chariots. Dude, horses that were on fire, people on them coming to the rescue. These are things out of movies that when you leave and you're like, man, that was a great movie. And then when you find out later that they're going to make a sequel and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait till that comes out. These are the kind of things that these people saw, but they didn't understand, because God hid those things in a mystery. And He said, even greater than these things, He said, now you will understand that mystery. You see, it would seem that if we could see that other world, because Elisha saw it, that we would understand it better and we would believe it more, don't you think? See, that's our mindset. If we could see that other world, no. They saw it, but they didn't understand. We don't see it, but we understand. We see it through their eyes. So we get the same revelation that they did. When Elisha said, Lord, I pray, open their eyes. And when it said, the mountain is full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Picture that. Now see, you could see what Elisha saw and that young man saw. But when you open your eyes, they're gone, and we can see what Elisha and that young man could not. They did not understand the true mystery of God, even though they saw that other world. You see, Scripture is showing us that if they did understand what they saw, plainly it says they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. And if we read the very next verse, this is the magnificent revelation of the mystery that we have. God has revealed to them. What did He reveal to them? things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. This was said to those that came before. These are those that saw miracles but didn't understand the mystery. He says, but now God has revealed to them what eye has not seen nor ear has heard. 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God has revealed to them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Do we not understand the gift and the revelation that we have through Spirit, through the Holy Spirit reading the Word of God? You see, the two worlds that exist around us exist. They're real. And yet, prior to the Spirit being promised to every believer, the indwelling Holy Spirit promised to every believer, people saw that world. They interacted with that world. And they thought, wow, this is really great. But for us, we can imagine that interaction. We can read that interaction. We can see in our mind that interaction. But we understand the mystery that they did not. What is the mystery? It wasn't the miracles. I'm not taking away from the resurrection of Christ because that's where our belief is. But it wasn't even that God could raise from the dead. He's God. Of course He can do these things. The mystery is that it's not about all the things that we see or that we don't see. The mystery is that God, in the beginning, we walked with Him. And we broke that. We distance ourselves from Him. And the mystery is that all the things that God has ever done was leading to one thing, to bring us back into that right relationship. It wasn't about the glory of Israel. God help me. I mean, it wasn't even about His Son being raised up in front of the whole world. His Son did that so He could bring us back into a right relationship. Because you know what the Son does with the kingdom? Once all rule and authority has been given to Him, He shows you what it's about. He could have taken that kingdom and He could have said, it's all about Me now. He lays it at the Father's feet. Everything that was ever done wasn't about the chariots of fire. It wasn't about the resurrections. It was about God putting us back into that right relationship with Him. That was the mystery. It wasn't about a physical nation that nobody could push around. It wasn't about water that came from a rock. It was about we strained our relationship. And we understand that with parents, with children, with grandparents, with friends. We screw things up and we wish we hadn't have done things, right? Do you know that probably if you, the people, I know that there's chemical imbalances in people and they never really come to a place where they can fully understand the gravity of what they've done. But some people that out of a fit of rage have done something. And you ask them if you could have anything, it would be that I could go back and not do what I did because I'm sorry for what I did. I could have anything in the world and they'd want to go back and make it right. That's what God did. That's the mystery. He made it right. This is what. And we think of two worlds. We think, man, if we could just see the fire, if we could just see the earth shake and the voice coming from heaven. You know what? You're going to get your wish one day. You're going to see it. That's actually going to happen. But until that day, understand what the true mystery and how wonderful the revelation was and the two worlds that we live in the better. Because we can see both and we can understand both through their eyes. That's what He said here. 1 Corinthians 2:10, he says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. The us is the apostles. The us is the church. Even in the days when the angels appeared by sight and great wonders were seen by the staff of Moses, they still didn't understand what God was truly showing them. But you see, we, through the Holy Spirit, see in Scripture that other world. That other world that He's wanting us to see, guess what? It's not really that spiritual world. It's not really the flaming horses. It's not even the angels. He wants us to see that world where Him and I walk together again. That's the two worlds that we live in. We think one is so much more magnificent. And yet there was people that saw both worlds. And the people that saw both worlds, you know what they wanted? See, Abraham saw angels. He saw fire come down out of heaven and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw this. And yet he said that he was a pilgrim and a sojourner. He was someone that wandered the earth. He was waiting on the real promise of God. That city whose builder and maker was God. He saw both worlds. He saw both worlds like we see boiling water from a pot from not boiling to boiling. He saw it just as simple as that. And yet he really, the world that the mystery was, is that he was waiting. He saw both worlds, and though both were okay, great, whatever, he was looking for that real world that God, where we would walk together once again, the two of us. That's the mystery. God made it right. You take somebody that's messed up so bad, just like I said, and they want to go back and they just want to make it right because they can hardly live with the guilt. God did that. God did that. And you know who He did it from? People like you. People like you that take a breath for God, that take a step for God, that commit yourself to His service and to each other. That's how He did it. Person by person, tear by tear, breath by breath. When I was in the hospital and I was leaving, I saw this lady and she was walking and she was pushing her oxygen and she was trying to recover just like I was on the road to recovery. And I told her the same thing that I told myself. I said, just keep breathing. She said, yeah, it's a different world now. I said, yep, just keep breathing. Because that's all I could do. One breath led to another. And hopefully I would get better. You see, we, unlike Elijah, can see both worlds and we understand. Revelation 22, 10 through 11. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy, the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. You know, stuff like this just, you know, it's like God put this in and it's just like poetry. It's like somebody trying to eloquently describe something. It just doesn't make sense sometimes I know what I'm talking about, you know. Don't just down home, normal, average people, you read stuff like this and we just don't understand what God is showing us. But see, the Holy Spirit shows us the mind of God. The most average person, and he shows us the mind of God. You see, if the words of this book do not open your eyes, and I'm talking about Scripture, because we've been all over the place. We've been in Genesis, from a flaming sword to flaming horses to angels walking among us. You see, if the words of this book do not open your eyes to see the glory of God that is found in the revelation of Christ, because in Christ God made this right. The world just saw a man that died. And you know why they killed him? Because they thought that they could kill him and push him out of the way. They didn't realize by killing him that they were accomplishing what God wanted. Bringing the world back together into one body so that he could walk among his people once again. They didn't realize that. They just saw him as somebody to push out of the way, and so they killed him. If we can't see through the Holy Spirit and through this book the glory of God that was found in Jesus, then no matter what you see, we'll never get to see what God is trying to show you. I don't care if you see angels. I don't care if you see those fiery horses. I don't care if you see the dead raise. You'll never see what God is trying to show you. A world that the two of us can actually walk together in harmony. How did God forgive me? I mean, really, how did He overlook? How did He forgive what I did that was so wrong? And what was so wrong is that what I wanted mattered more than anything else. My opinions, my feelings, what I wanted out of life mattered more than what He did, what God wanted. And with that kind of attitude, we can't walk with Him in a right relationship. And so Christ, when they were nailing Him to the tree, He said, forgive them. He said, they really don't know what they're doing. I will never understand how He did that. Because you watch somebody nail somebody that is closest to you, because not everybody has children, but whoever was closest to you, you watch them nail them to a tree. And you look up to God in heaven and say, forgive that person because they don't know what they're doing. This is the mystery of what God accomplished in Christ to forgive us so that we could walk with Him once again. I mean, we walk in the midst of two worlds, but there's a greater one to come, and that's the world that He really wants us to see. Peter opened that door on the day of Pentecost. The keys, remember the keys that were given to Peter? Did I say David? I don't know. Peter opened that door on the day of Pentecost. Those were the keys that were given to him. He opened that door so that the Holy Spirit would come. And He opened that door so that when our time was up here, that we had a place to go. And you know what God says? For He's keeping that door open. He's keeping that door open for anyone that will come through. But I'm here to tell you that there's going to come a day when that door shuts. And that will be the end of it. And you say, well, how in the world could God be so mean that He would just shut that door? What a question. How come you're waiting to walk through that door? What's stopping you? What is keeping you from coming through that door? God says, I'm opening it, but I will not keep it open forever. And you're going to get mad at God because He's going to shut the door, but you're not going to push personal responsibility on you. Why haven't you walked through that door? It's been open. What's your problem? That's the question that God asks. The mystery is that He has provided a way to put us back into a right relationship. Don't we want that? Don't you want to make it right with the things in your life that have gone bad that you wish that you could change? Christ has done that. Christ has done that. And here's the kicker. It may not look like it. Because see, we don't see the fiery spirits. We don't see the door open in heaven. But you can be assured by looking at the old prophets that they saw it. What God said was happening was happening. It was real. He's put us back into that right relationship. Only we can stop it. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?